Our Dallas Mavericks have finally won a close game as they take down the Sacramento Kings 114 to 110 inside the Orlando bubble. I'm your host, Jimmy Crowther, and on today's post-game podcast, we're going to be breaking down that win and everything that went right for the Dallas Mavericks. Mavs fans, we finally get to talk about a win on the All Things Mavs post-game podcast, and usually it's just me breaking down these games, but I've got my good friend and co-worker, Harrison Graham, in the building in the podcast studio today. Harrison, why don't you introduce yourself, tell them where they can find you on social media, and tell us a little bit more about what you do here at Chat Sports and on ESPN.
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at HGrahamNFL. I assure you I do much more than the NFL. I cover the NBA a little bit for both my jobs here at Chat Sports and then also at the radio station where you can catch me on Saturdays from 2 to 4, 103.3 FM, ESPN in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. I do a little bit of everything here at Chat Sports. I'm kind of the jack of all trades, do some NBA, do some NFL during the college football season. I'm doing a lot of that. But I've been covering the Mavs for a few years and following my entire life, Jimmy. And we were pins and needles today watching the Mavs try and figure this thing out, but they finally got a W.
Yeah, Harrison and I got to sit basically just right across from each other, socially distanced, of course, as we watched the Mavs take down the Kings 114 to 110. And let's just break down the highlights, because really, you get to the fourth quarter, and that's where the magic started to happen for the Dallas Mavericks. Tim Hardaway Jr. knocks down a three with 2:20 left to play in the fourth quarter to cut it down to one. That's when the Mavs started to get some momentum and say, no, we're not going to lose this game to another lottery-bound team in the Sacramento Kings. Right after that, Dorian Finney-Smith goes down, misses a three, but Rashawn Holmes fouls out after Dorian Finney-Smith misses that three. That's what kind of gets more of the ball rolling, and the Mavs start to feel like they have a chance. So on that loose ball foul from Rashawn Holmes, Maxey goes 1 of 2 from the free throw line. The game is tied, and from there we go down, and we get into some overtime play. What'd you think about the end of that fourth quarter?
Well, real quick, did Rashawn Holmes go order some wings after this one and leave the bubble for a second time? All jokes aside, look, you could feel the tension in the fourth quarter. This is a team that's lost two brutal games in a row, one to Houston, a game they dominated for about 44, 45 minutes. Obviously, the Phoenix game was, a debacle too, a game you cannot afford to lose. And to be fair, Sacramento controlled the majority of this game. So this one was almost the opposite, where Dallas in the fourth quarter kind of put their foot down and said, we've got to play our best quarter of the season here and figure this thing out. Found a way to get this thing to overtime. Hardaway hits the big three, like you said. Both teams exchange foul outs. Kristaps fouls out. Rashawn Holmes fouls out. And then you get into overtime, and you kind of felt like at that point, Jimmy, that the Mavs had taken a little bit of control of this game, really for the first time throughout.
Yeah, they really had the momentum going into that overtime. And, of course, to get to overtime, DeLon Wright goes down. You got 30 seconds left. You're going for a 2-for-1. DeLon Wright misses a layup. Why DeLon Wright shooting the layup to get the last shot? I don't know, because he's been, hot garbage in this bubble, and it's made me, and I know a lot of the people listening, really mad. So then De'Aaron Fox gets that last shot, misses it from mid-range, and we go into overtime. That is when the Mavs said, we're going to win this game. They outscore the Kings 19-15 in that overtime, so not by a wide margin, but when it was really, when they really found that separation is when Tim Hardaway Jr. was fouled on a three-pointer. And that's when the game was still tied. They still tied the game. Tim Hardaway Jr., after making those three clutch free throws, even though we can argue back and forth whether or not that was actually a foul. But then Trey Burke comes in, gives you a little bit of spark. He plays well on the defensive end. And then Luka Doncic takes over. He posts up Corey Joseph, makes a floater over him, knocks it down. That's what gives the Mavs the lead. They go up 2 with 1:54 left. Go to the other end. Maxey Kleber blocks De'Aaron Fox with 1:30 left and then hits a 3 on the other end, and that is where the game was decided.
Yeah, that pretty much put it away, although in classic Mavs fashion, it really wasn't over until Trey Burke hit the 2 free throws, because Sacramento throws in a prayer of a 3 with about 10 seconds left or whatever it was to cut it to 2, but Burke iced the game. Big win for Dallas. We'll talk about the big picture here in a few minutes, I'm sure, as we move forward here. But it was just good for this team to get a win. Their first win in about 4.5 months, as weird as that sounds. It's good for the Mavs. This young group needed it. And now you can push forward and get ready for the next game.
Yeah, so now we're going to take a quick little break here, but we're going to break down more of what we liked in this game, what we didn't like in this game, because it still was not pretty whatsoever. And then, like you said, we'll look big picture and kind of what's coming up next for the Dallas Mavericks. Now, I want to talk box score real fast because you guys know you're listening. I know you guys appreciate when I read off the box score, so I'm going to do it really, really fast here, and then we're going to talk more about the game in depth. Lead scorer, none other than Luka Doncic with 34 points and a career-high 20 rebounds and 12 assists as well. KP, although he fouled out, didn't get to play in overtime, scores 22 points, pulls down 7 rebounds. Dorian Finney-Smith, a quiet double-double, 16 points and 16 boards. Tim Hardaway Jr., 22 points. Really just icing on the cake from three there. Maxi Kleber had 8 points. Trey Burke had 7. Boban Marjanovic with 1. Justin Jackson Island, still alive and well, 3 points. And J.J. Barea, who got the start, with 1 point. And I'm glad we end with J.J. Barea there because we're going to talk about this start to finish. To start the game, we get the tweet from the Dallas Mavericks official team Twitter that says, okay, Trey Burke's going to start for Seth Curry. And Rick puts J.J. Barea in last second. What? Why? What was the point? What was he thinking there?
Very strange. And there's been a couple of kind of bizarre rotational type of things so far in the bubble. Like, why did Trey Burke not play in the fourth quarter when he had a career night against Houston? Why did he roll with Seth Curry in that game when Seth didn't have it? Mm-hmm. Why did J.J. Barea get the start today when he's played 0 minutes in the bubble? I don't know. Only Rick knows. Maybe he decided, I like Burke off the bench better than I do as a starter, and that's fine. And Bray has started a handful of games this year. He's obviously a veteran, and that's cool, but let's be honest. He's an occasional, and I do mean occasional, spark plug at this point. Didn't give you much today, 0 for 3 in those 14 minutes, had the 1 point. Kind of a weird deal, minus 10 in limited action. I don't expect him to play much of a role on the court moving forward. His value is in the locker room and his leadership intangibles, but yeah, that was kind of a weird one as we heard that come through literally as the game was starting to play.
I mean, the game was tipping off and Brad Townsend, of course, tweets out, well, JJ's now on the floor. And we're like, okay. But and listen, I don't want anyone to think that I don't like J.J. Barea. He is a valuable member of this team in the locker room. And I do think J.J. Barea would have been helpful in that game against Phoenix at the end of the game when you couldn't get anything to go and you had no leadership on the floor. Or even at the fourth quarter against the Rockets, that's when you put him in, when you need a random spark.
Very situational value.
Exactly. Right?
And we've seen that this year. He's come in and given you 10 points in 10 minutes at times and stuff like that. I don't think starting him has a lot of value, though, at this point.
I don't either. But, you know, at the end of the day, it didn't matter all that much because either way, the Mavs really just sucked a fat one in the first quarter as they went down 37-27 in that first quarter and let the Kings just make everything from three. This three-point defense drives me nuts, and it was ugly all first half.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't know what the number was. I know they made three. I think it was 9 for 13 or something like that. Just ridiculous. A lot of them uncontested, by the way. It's not like they're, you know, making contested step-back threes in Dallas's face. You can live with that, but lots of open looks. To Dallas's credit, in the second quarter, much better. Probably their best defensive quarter of the bubble. Mm-hmm. Held Sacramento to 23, outside of maybe the fourth quarter in this one, but a big second quarter there as well to kind of stay within touch in the first half. But, yeah, well, against a good team, you give up 9 or 10 threes in a quarter, that's problematic. And you've talked about it a lot here in the office, and I know on Twitter as well, at all things Mavs, all underscore under or things underscore
a lot of underscores.
I get it confused. Lots of underscores.
Hopefully the listeners are already following me by
they,
now.
They know who you are at this point. But you've pointed it out, the defense hasn't been great, and we know this isn't a good defensive team,
right?
But it's been about league average throughout the year. It's been below average through three games in the bubble outside of the fourth quarter today. They played their best quarter of the season there defensively. Got to get better moving forward.
Yeah, absolutely. Defensively, I think this was a turnaround game for Dorian Finney-Smith. Offensively, couldn't hit the broadside of a barn, went 1 of 7 from three. But when it counted, he stepped up big today. Same with Maxi Kleber. Both of them have struggled throughout the bubble. And as I've talked about on this channel a lot, I mean, those are the two most valuable role players on this team, outside of course, Tim Hardaway Jr. And they haven't been good. And today, they did what they needed to do when they needed to do it. But that first, really, three quarters from both of those guys was the exact reason the Mavs have been losing these close games.
Dorian had the big tip in late in the game, which kind of, you know, extended the lead there. I thought that was big. Maxi played Kristaps minutes in crunch time because he fouled out. That was important. You know, the box score isn't going to jump out from him, but I thought he was setting good screens in this game, which is a thing that you don't see in the stat sheet. That's something he's really good at. He contested shots around the rim. So I thought he was better today. But this is what it is with the Mavs, right? It's Luka, it's KP, and then it's Some depends on X night who that role player is going to be that's going to step up. Today it was Hardaway, Kleba, and Dorian. Obviously, a couple of nights ago it was Trey Burke in the opener. Just going to be kind of hit and miss outside of your big two.
Yeah, absolutely. Speaking of screens, I don't understand why this Maverick team, and it's happened on multiple occasions, not just against this team, against multiple teams, they go under screens. You can't go under screens in the NBA because everybody in the NBA can shoot now.
Yeah.
And it's so frustrating. I don't want to spend too much time on that because there's really nothing to talk
about.
Unless
you're facing Rondo.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's nothing a whole lot to talk about. It's just a Rick Carlisle thing, I guess, of going under the screen. So I don't understand that, but players should be able to adjust to that. But look, at the end of the day, it was a win. It was an ugly win. I mean, you're still going to overtime with the Sacramento Kings, who are not a good basketball team.
Yeah.
But we are not going to complain. We've complained for two straight podcasts, and I'm keeping it positive here on the podcast. So we're going to take one more quick break. Break down a little bit more, and then we're going to get out of here. Now, this means the Mavs move within two games of the sixth seed, and that's very important. However, it's not likely that the Mavs are moving up. So what I think this game means in the grand scheme of things is it gave the Mavs some practice in a crunch time situation that they're going to have to face probably at some point in the playoffs against a guaranteed much better team than the Sacramento Kings.
Yeah, I think big picture, as we spend a few moments the big picture isn't that meaningful, if we're being honest. They need significant help to move up in the standings. I think the most important thing is, A, they won a basketball game, mm-hmm. right? Which you want to get off the schneid there. I think they're one of a couple of teams who hadn't won a game yet in the bubble. And two, to your point, they found a way to make some key plays without one of their top two guys in crunch time. That's important. That's valuable. Kristaps was on the bench. Luka made some big plays. Finney Smith had the tip in, like I mentioned. That's important moving forward. The competition's going to be a lot tougher, but to win a game and to win a game in the clutch, that's very important for this team moving forward. Can they do it more consistently? That's what we're going to wait to see over these next four or five games as we get into playoff action.
Yeah, absolutely. And I didn't mention this earlier. I meant to mention it earlier, but if you've made it this far in the podcast, here's what I'm going to do for you guys. I made it with the first game, but I'm going to do it with this game because nobody got it right. If you can predict the correct score and the correct winner of the Mavs versus Clippers game straight from my pocket to your pocket, we're going to Venmo you $25. I'm raising the stakes. So the right score, the right winner of that Mavs game against the Los Angeles Clippers. In the comment section, use hashtag Mavs, and I'm going to Venmo you $25. So do that in the comment section down below. But speaking of the Clippers, that's who they got next. And then they got the Bucks right after that. So what are you looking for in those two games?
I think this is probably your most important two-game stretch, not necessarily win-loss-wise, but how serious of a team is this going to be this year? That's what we want to know, right? For most of the Rockets game, we thought, damn, this is a dangerous team. And you saw a lot of the national media leading up to the bubble. I think Dallas is a team that could make some noise outside of, you know, the Lakers, the Clippers, the Bucks of the world, maybe the Raptors and a couple others, but as kind of a sleeper team. Lost your first two games, blew a couple of a big lead against Houston. Can they stack up with the Clippers? That's what we all want to know. That's the likely opponent in the first round. So that's going to be important to at least, you know, kind of figure some things out. What matchups does Rick like? What's that second unit looking like against that Clippers second unit? I think those are some things to keep an eye on. And then obviously Milwaukee after, you know, these are two big boy games coming up.
For sure.
And by the way, Milwaukee loses to Brooklyn today somehow. So, you know, they're going to be angry from here on out in the bubble. So this will be a good test for this young Mavericks team these next couple of games. They finally got a win out of the way. Now you can kind of, you know, get your feet under yourselves and hopefully play really good ball these next two games.
Yeah, important kind of last couple notes here. Number one, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist was active for this game
back,
for
baby.
The first time, did not play coach's decision. Don't expect to see him unless Paul George or Kawhi Leonard just go off and you need a wing defender. That's what he does.
Yep.
Second important note that I got to mention before we get out of here. There's one team in the NBA that has not lost three games in a row this year. That one team is the Dallas Mavericks.
Yes.
So this is my guarantee to Mavs fans. As bad and as ugly as it may get in the playoffs, maybe, potentially. We don't know who we're playing yet.
They won't get swept.
They will win at least one game. So that's exciting. As we record this podcast, the Phoenix Suns lead the Los Angeles Clippers 85-80. You are cheering for the Clippers to move down and the Nuggets to move up because the Mavs are likely at number 7. Harrison, any final notes on this game or about the Mavs going forward before we officially sign off?
Kind of more the same. You saw Luka put on the Superman cape, which you need your superstars to do that from time to time, especially when Kristaps fouled out. He put the, 20 boards. Come on, like that is
career
a
high.
That's a big boy effort there. He drops 34, obviously. Pretty good at the free throw line again. The 3-point shot still not really there for him. It's kind of fallen from this team in general since that early on in that Rockets game. 9 for 41 today. We know if they're going to make a run, they got to be a 40% type of 3-point team. So we'll see if they can figure that out moving forward. And then hopefully, it doesn't seem serious. Hopefully Seth is back soon because his spacing and shooting is very, very important. But I'm excited to watch this team play the Clippers because you're probably getting a tease of your first-round matchup coming up in a couple of days.
Definitely. We will have the preview, the post-game podcast, and all of that good stuff here on the All Things Mavs channel. Make sure you subscribe. Make sure you hit that notification bell. Make sure you're in the comment section down below if you're hyped about this win. And Mavs fans, I can't even get out of here. I'm too excited about the win. Mavs fans, I'll talk to you next time.